Hello everyone, thank you for watching the special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with...
Hi everybody, I am the narrator, otherwise known as Zoe Jackson, from the writer's room with my two lovely co-hosts.
Who can't decide which is going to go
no,
first.
No, we can never decide.
Take the lead.
Go for it.
Hi everybody, I am Patrick Keefe. I have an online presence under That Gray Gentleman, and I portray Wayland Graywall as well as Roland McAlmerand on the podcast.
Yeah, and hey, my name is Evan Ackley. I am the community manager for the writer's room. I also play Captain Jesse Nakansa and the Devil Jonah within the show.
And today we're going to look behind the scenes of one of my favorite podcasts, the Writer's Room, 7C Podcast. So let's start from the very beginning. How did this come about? Actually, but maybe we should begin by what exactly is this podcast about, first of all?
Sure. Well, the Writer's Room is a podcast that I... Oh boy, I have to go backwards in time a little bit.
I was going to say, I have like a tagline to describe
explain the origin.
Yeah.
So The Writer's Room is a heavily narrative podcast that falls somewhere between an actual play and a radio drama. We use the world of the 7C TTRPG produced by Chaosium Inc. and initially conceived by John Wick. Yes, that is his actual God-given name. The other one came later. It is a world that is analogous to our own within the golden age of piracy, with the very significant difference that all gods and magic are real. So as much as things progressed the same way that they did in our world, a lot of the technology is at similar levels to when it was back then. Some of it has evolved to a more futuristic degree for the, what is it, the 16th century?
Late 16th century, early
17th century. Mm-hmm. Also very notably, because all gods and magic are real and because more power has been put into the hands of the individual people around the world, colonialism also fully failed. And so you have the lands that we would call the Americas, as well as the continent of Africa, et cetera, have all been able to maintain their autonomy as their own individual seafaring powers throughout the world. So you don't have this European conquest that had taken place during this time. And so there is quite a different variety of magics. There's ethnicities of all different sorts that both exist on our ship as a pirate ship, as well as ones that we encounter. And it's, yeah, I think that pretty much sums it
up
as far as
we're
like
pirates.
What we are.
We use magic.
Yeah, we're pirates. We use magic. It's a little bit gay. Sometimes it's
a little bit.
If you're looking for that fix now that in nomine patriae et spiritus sancti, our flag means death, has been
rest in power.
Yes, prematurely canceled.
So that's
that.
It's a good tagline.
It's the elevator pitch.
We can't fit that on a business card, Patrick.
No,
absolutely not.
So how did this group come to be? How did you find each other?
Evan, you're very well versed in this story.
This is kind of partially my fault.
It's actually all Evan's fault.
This is all my fault. Patrick and I had met years and years ago through an ex-partner of mine, and had since stayed very close friends. Patrick is part of my main home game that has mm-hmm. played for the past 7 years every Thursday. And we've been close that way. Zoe and I met because I we worked at the same job together, and I listened to some of the sessions that they had recorded of their own home game, their own home 7th Sea game, that, you know, sounded really fun. And I, all the time, I was like, hey, Zoe, when do I get to play this pirate game? When can I want to be a pirate. When can I be a pirate? And we had some conversation about it. There was talks of Patrick, because, you know, a friend of both of us, which I'll let you guys explain, was number one top of the list person I wanted to play in a game with, because we had already played together. We already had that familiar relationship within game. So that was, you guys can go on how you guys met.
Oh my God. So Zoe, you remember better when we first met than I do.
Decades ago.
Was it literally 2 decades ago?
It was literally 2 decades ago. I was at King Richard's Fair. You were dressed as the man in black from Princess Bride. And I was obsessed with totally not Carrie Ellis. And so I was, stalking you pretty much the whole time. It was like 15, 20 years ago.
I was like just turned 20. Yep. I wasn't even 20 at the time, I don't think.
And ever since then, every year I had seen you at King Richard's Fair, and every year I had worked King Richard's Fair. And so we interacted a lot. And then we just kind of became friends outside of that.
Like other mutual friends that we knew within the Ren Faire circuit, and so there was the fact that Zoe and I had been friends for well over 10 years at the time, and that Evan and I think we've been friends getting close to 10 years now.
Yes, definitely.
And so that connection happened. Evan really wanted to play the game, had constantly talked to Zoe about it. Then both of them began harassing me to nail down a point in my schedule where I could join the whole crew. And we started playing from there.
Yeah, then
we started playing. The moment we sat down to play, Zoe's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna hit record and then we'll post the podcast later. And Patrick and I are like, what?
I don't think it happened immediately. Podcast? Because Zoe records. So Zoe, the way that you do all of your session notes is, and this is incredibly smart for anybody who plays TTRPGs online. Take a page out of their book, just record the session.
I would bring to my tabletop games, I would have a little, like, you know, $20 little microphone and an old phone specifically set up to record, put it in the center of the table, and I would just have all of the session record there. And yeah, it was terrible audio, like, because it's a tiny little microphone on a table and all of us are screaming and rolling dice on it and whatever. But that's how I take my notes, because I was never a good note taker in school. I can only remember things auditorially and then can repeat them. So if I listen back to it, I'll have a much better memory. And so I've just recorded all of my sessions. So ever since then, I was like, okay, cool. We're going to record this and we're going to have it just for us. It's just going to be for us. I can like edit it and do like little things with it. And actually it was Evan who was like, hey, why don't we, fun idea, consider making this a podcast, because it was the pandemic.
That was my idea.
That was your idea.
I thought we sat down and you were like, yeah, I could post these, and we're like, oh,
nope,
sure, was, yeah, we'll post it.
That was your idea, because the pandemic had hit us, and we were all, everybody was like, oh, well, what do we do now? What do we have all this time? Yeah. What do we do?
What, knitting? Do you want me to start knitting now? I don't
have... Hey, I actually did start knitting.
No, I'm not going to start knitting. I'm going to pretend to be a pirate.
Yeah, and so we just turned it into the thing. And before we even had the first episode, Chaosium messaged us. And they said, hey, we like what you're doing. I thought it was a cease and desist. I thought it was you can't do this. What are you doing? But we sat down with Brian and Mob of Chaosium, the president and the marketing president, and they were like, we love what you're doing. We love that you're promoting 7C. We love that you're teaching the game. We want to help you. How can we do that? And it just, it took off from there.
There was a lot of nervousness in that, in those early days that,
oh, like, I had a panic attack. I was like,
which is hilarious. So it's, cause it's very funny. Cause I think that was my fault. Cause I think I had mentioned it to them at some point. Cause I had previously played in a Chaosium stream of Call of Cthulhu with Brian as the DM and mentioned the podcast. And then you got the email and was like, had no context for it.
Yeah.
I was like, how do they know? How do they know?
Whoops, my bad. But so, yeah, that was the genesis of this whole pirate mess.
So let's talk about the characters and main story of what's going on in this podcast. Well, anyone hearing about this for the first time. So what is going on with everything, with the world, and who are the heroes? Who are the villains?
Where to start?
So the inception of the podcast is kind of an idea of, do you remember when you were little and you wanted a bedtime story and your parent or your guardian would sit down and they'd read the story to you and they did the voices and, like, you know, really got into it and really immersed you in that story? That is what I wanted to bring with my storytelling with this game. And so we follow the story at first of Captain Jesse Nakansa and Master at Arms Waylon Greywall as they traverse the world of 7C and get into all sorts of trouble and have a lot of personal issues and character growth. And
such a light way of putting
it. It's a light way of putting it. But, like, if I am trying to, you know, get across the whole, like, I'm telling a story to a younger audience, like, this is how you start. And then as it progresses, you know, we talk about more serious topics. We get into the nitty-gritty of their character development, and we end much like on, you know, many books, on a cliffhanger. And then from there we can tell other stories. So there's an image behind me of a small mini series that we did with another podcast called The Storyteller Squad, and we follow them in the same universe as these guys, but on the opposite end of the pond in a different area. And then we see the world building. We see how things meld together, how the actions over here affect what's going on with the boys in the Atabayan, and the stories all mesh together. And so that's essentially what the writer's room is. It's a very long pirate story.
You know, and it's one of
our,
the things
our
that...
story. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to say real quick. One of the things that Zoe always imparts to us is the world never stops turning. This is a world that we craft together with the endeavor to make it feel as alive as possible to the audience. And so even though you're hearing the stories of Jesse and Wayland, there is the understanding that there are so many other things happening behind the scenes that you, as the audience, don't necessarily get to see right away or see come to fruition, because we're just not at that point in the story yet. And it's real fun.
Yeah, at a very base foundational level, our story takes place in a part of the world called the Atabayan. It is an analog for the Caribbean, essentially. You'd find a lot of the same places with different names that you'd find in the real world Caribbean. My character Jesse is the captain of La Rosa Blanca, which is our 17-gun brigantine, basically built by his mother's crew. Patrick's character Wayland is our master at arms, who is in charge of guns, baby.
All the guns, a lot of the blades,
and then we have all of our officers played by Zoe, who are from different parts of the world. So it's a very diverse group of people that are all, you know, classic pirate family. They all have their issues. They all have very unique quirks about them.
Their own wants, their own needs. All of them feel like, very much to Zoe's credit, all of them feel like their own player characters. So there are very rarely NPCs that we encounter that feel like NPCs. All of the crew, all of the officers on our ship very much feel like they are their own distinct personalities. And that really, I believe that really does come across. Feels like there's more people at the table than just three of us, but it tends to be three of us.
So share with us some of the story arcs that you probably enjoy the most in this series, as well as is there any like big bads that you fought against?
Oh yeah. So,
yeah, you could say that.
You could say that. There is much like in Pirates of the Caribbean, a Davy Jones type character. In 7C, he is called the Devil Jonah, and he is the big bad for both of these boys, mainly Jesse in the beginning, but eventually, you know, things happen, and also becomes Waylon's big bad. But that's not the only big bad. There's many enemies in Adabaean waters. There's a rival fleet called the Crimson Fleet, run by the infamous Reaper Captain Reese, who is also a villain in their own right. There's the ATC, the Adabaean Trading Company, which, much like the East India Trading Company in 17th century in the Age of Sail, was a bane of piracy. That is another of the enemies that these boys face in their fun pirate adventures. As well as, you know, the Adabaean itself. It is called the Sea of Monsters for a reason.
And it is.
Yeah, and there have been several beyond the Devil Jonah, as much as he has proven to set himself to be the ever-looming existential threat. There are several villains that have managed to stand out among the way. One of them being Mad Maeve, who is a unseelie fae that has haunted Waylon's steps in particular. We've got Captain Stroud.
And William Stroud,
who is also of the Crimson Fleet, who
also
has
of
been
the Crimson Fleet, bad guy.
And
yeah, we got a lot of bad folks around us.
Not great. I think the aspect of that too, that we keep finding ourselves opposed to these forces, as one of the cruxes of 7C mechanic wise, is that you are playing big damn capital H heroes. We are, like, as much as we are pirates in the story, as far as the story is concerned, despite certain choices that we make that may not turn out best for everybody involved, we are the good guys at the end of things. Like, we are still playing the heroic forces. It's just a little bit more of a gray morality than I think you would come across in your stereotypical fantasy, high fantasy story kind of deal.
How do you plan, I guess, your story structures? What I mean by that is, do you plan, let's say you have a season, do you talk amongst yourselves before you play and say, okay, this is the beats that we're going to play in the story, and I'm looking at this from 6 to 12 episodes, and this is where we want the cliffhanger to happen. Like, how does that work exactly in your games?
So the first season, we kind of just went with whatever. I was still teaching Evan and Patrick 7C, the system. They were still getting used to it, and I was still learning as a narrator how to run the system effectively. And so we were just kind of going with the flow. I had a small little arc that I wanted to do, And we did it, and it was fun. In the podcast, if you want to listen to it, it's the Makaro arc. And then from there, after that, I was like, hey, what do you guys want to do next? It wasn't like most typical games where, you know, I sit down and I write down everything that we do and we follow this railroad track to this plot point and then this plot point. Because I am the narrator telling the story they want to tell, they tell me what they want to do, where they want to go, who they want to interact with. And that's another big part of the 7C system, is the experience system is based off of stories. So these boys would come up with stories to gain advancements, and that story was part of the grander narrative of arcs or seasons or however you wanted to do it. And once we finished that arc, we did have an idea of where it was going to end. It's going to end on the cliffhanger, and I can't say anything because spoilers. But we all knew where it was going to end and how. We just didn't know when. And so we just played until it got to the fruition of that. And I sat down, and in most fantasy RPGs, you'll get asked, hey, do you want to continue this? Because if you do, there's no going back. If you have any other side quests you want to do, you should do those first. We got to that point. We said, okay, no, I think this is it. And then we did our cliffhanger for the season one, and that was it. Going forward, there is a very broad strokes 10-step story of like, these are the beats that you have to hit until season two ends. This is what season two is going to roughly end on. And that takes as long as it takes with these guys. With the other podcast, we joke because it was only supposed to be one shot. It was only supposed to be one session. One session turned into 13 episodes.
Yeah, to give an example of how the world turns without our main character's involvement, and then it spiraled into its own thing and wound up with an entire different cast of main characters who have since begun to interact with our main story and cause all their own sorts of problems. They were not immediately allied to our side.
So to answer your question, we started off with nothing, and now we have general spark notes of where the boys essentially want the story to go.
It's really interesting. The difference between 7C as a system and other TTRPG systems specifically is the story step system, where Patrick and I can write out very vague steps of a character arc, a very small character arc, and they can be very general, they can be very specific, but in completing those specific story steps in game, it's not specifically us saying, okay, today, you know, Jesse and Wayland are gonna get into a bar fight. It ends up becoming more natural based on what Patrick and I want as rewards and upgrades for the characters. And that informs the overall narrative going forward. So depending on what we're looking for, if we're looking for, you know, additional points in a skill or additional points in a trait or advantages, which are essentially your abilities within the game, those are determined by your story steps. And the story steps end up being a very rough outline of individual
tales that can also involve other characters too. It's really
so that's essentially how the progression of the story works. We sort of all know how the overarching story is going to go, but there are a lot of opportunities where all three of us keep things from each other, because that's you know, kind of part of the point of an actual play, is that we're still we're playing the game still. But we are telling a story at the same time. So we're placing down these beats that we want to hit for each character. But we don't necessarily know exactly how that situation's going to go. It'll be different, you know, in what the session will be than what we had planned in our minds, unless we specifically say that we want something very important to happen in a certain way. Then yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll sit down and we'll kind of craft a more structured rubric almost as to how we want that to go. None of the story is scripted by any means, but the story steps allow us to have some sort of path to bring us on,
there are times too where we'll be so vague to ourselves with our own story steps that it's like, this is the vibe that I want this story to have. I don't know what this means yet. And sometimes we will retroactively apply what happens within the role play and the improv of the story to our story steps towards like moving towards an advantage, because actions that we've taken, decisions that we've made, things that we have said and conversations that we've had are, you know, we are able to be like, oh yeah, I did do that thing. And it's, to me, like, I always kind of frame 7th C as it is a storytelling system disguised as a tabletop role-playing game. Is very, like, that is very much the case. And yeah.
So that brings up a good question about the 7th C system. Does that really help with creating your adventures and this podcast as well? Because I know a lot of podcasts tend to lean toward D&D 5e, for example, being that it's still the most popular role-playing game currently. Do you reason you choose 7C is because the system just works much better for all of you? What are your thoughts about that?
I have big thoughts.
I was going to say, Zoe,
Zoe has different thoughts on it than Patrick and I. Mm-hmm. Patrick and I, like I said in the beginning, we've been in a 5e home game for a super long time.
Yeah.
And so that we play that every week, barring, you know, time constraints and stuff.
But real life happens.
Sure. It is a different story. People who've only played Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition or something very similar like that don't necessarily get the opportunity to explore something more capable of being highly narrative. You know, shows like Critical Role and Dimension 20 are very, you know, highly narrative because that's how they're crafted. But when it really comes down to it and you look at combat and you look at moment to moment, the actual gameplay, the mechanics of the game, D&D kind of is very against narrative. It halts a lot of what your storytelling, whereas 7C is entirely narrative. It encourages those narrative conversations. And when you do roll the dice, it's very straightforward. You get the dice out of the way and then you say, okay, you know, it's very, very straightforward and it leads into, you know, it's a narrative ease that 5e doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, D&D, I think from its beginnings as a war game to that point, Evan, I think it just doesn't have as many of the mechanical advantages that 7C does towards encouraging storytelling. Now, obviously, there are plenty of D&D podcasts that exist that have found their ways around it, but they've done so by finding their ways around it, whereas 7C right. directly has mechanics for it. Mm-hmm. And Zoe has her own feelings.
My big thoughts are I've been playing TTRPGs ever since I was like in my teens, and I played D&D 3.5 and loved it. I actually really loved it. And then D&D 4 came out, 4th edition. We don't talk about 4th edition.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're saying. Fourth edition doesn't exist. And then fifth edition came out. And so I started playing fifth edition. And my experiences at the tables that I played at were so abysmal that it turned me off D&D pretty much forever. I still to this day, it's been like almost 20 something years, will not play in a D&D game unless heavily, heavily convinced. Because I'm not going to have a good time. I know that inherently, because the story that I want to tell, the game that I want to play, is not fit for D&D. It is fit for 7C, to the point where I, during that 20 years of not playing, tried to create a new game specifically for narrative storytelling. It failed. I couldn't publish it. But I spent a 12-year-long campaign playing this homebrew game with a whole story and characters and everything. And then I found 7C through a friend who worked at a game store when John Wick Presents first released it. And I fell in love with it. I devoured it. I bought every single book I could get my silly little hands on. And I lived, ate, and breathed 7C for the next like 4 years. Playing in every single game I could get into, starting to run several games. At one point in my life, I think 2 years ago, I was running 9 games a month. Both paid and not.
What was your biggest table, Zoe?
My biggest table was 22 people. And the only reason it worked, I do not recommend it, the only reason it worked is because they were all invested in the story. That's it. That's my secret, Captain. Get them invested in the story. So 7C came along. It answered all of my problems, all of my issues, and from then on, it became my system. So much so that Chaosium recognized me as an award-winning GM. So here we are.
So this podcast has grown so much. I was checking out the recent episode just to get prepared for this discussion. And I'm like, wow, the production value is so good. It's storytelling and role playing and all the and the sound effect, everything. Everything's just great. But I'm sure getting there must have been a lot of there must have been a lot of challenges. What would you share? Would you be willing to share some of the biggest challenges you had from starting this till now?
Yeah. I started doing the editing process on Audacity, which is a free digital audio workshop. A lot of people use it nowadays. But the idea that I had in my head of this, you know, fully sound effect, immersive music world that I wanted to convey just wasn't working in that workshop. And that's okay. But I needed to move on to something else. And so I did my research. I was like, if I'm going to edit this, I need to like really knuckle down and teach myself how to do this. And at the time, everybody was doing podcasts. Everybody was producing their own thing. Nobody was really doing a podcast, an actual play podcast that had music and sound effects to the point where it was an immersive story all on its own. If you got rid of all of the mechanics and narration, it's just a drama. It's just an audio drama. And I wanted to really learn how to do that. And so I knuckled down. I bought Reaper, which is a fully customizable digital audio workshop. I highly recommend it. And I sat for hours, days, weeks in YouTube, on Skillshare, talking with other audio editors, learning how to do this and how to do it effectively, and self-taught myself how to edit these to a point where I was satisfied with what I was producing. That also meant that these boys had to endure me asking for retakes and different lines and sometimes some scripted things. I'd be like, hey, I know you said this in game, but it would be really cool if you said it like this. And kind of like coaching them through this. And once we got to a point where I started pumping these out at a decent clip, I started to realize, and it wasn't even me realizing it. It was other people listening going, damn, are you like a full-on studio production? Because this quality is amazing. And I still can't believe it when people tell me that, because I listen back to the first episode and I'm like, wow, our audio is
a lot of it was the recording mediums too.
Yeah, it was just the recording mediums. I didn't have a good mic. Patrick was dealing with some issues on their end with with their microphone setup. Sometimes you can still hear the popcorn thing that happens.
God, that's right.
I know, I'm so sorry. I hate to bring it up.
At some point, we just got to ADR all of those early episodes.
Remaster them.
Just remaster them.
I mean, we'll do a big recap episode of you know, all of that and remaster it. But I just keep getting better. And I didn't realize that I was doing something amazing and cool until I pumped out an episode and I listened to it in the car. And I was like, I did that?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. This is good. Like, this is really something good. And then I listened, these boys had me listen to Worlds Beyond Number. Shout out to Brennan Lee Mulligan and the studio over there, because they're amazing.
Erica Ishii,
Abria Iyengar, Lou Wilson, all of you guys are great. I love you all very much if you're listening to this.
Very similar style, yeah.
I listened to their audio and I'm like, hey, they're doing what we've been doing. That's so cool.
It's very validating.
It was incredibly validating
when they started releasing their show.
I was like, holy shit, this is incredible. This is so cool. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, now I'm just not going to stop. I'm just going to keep going and keep getting better.
Yeah, I guess we never really encountered any super difficult situations. I think because of the way that the three of us are able to play together and the way, you know, based on our individual equipment already, we were already fairly well equipped to have a decent quality from the start.
I'm glad you think so because I do not feel that way about my personal audio. I don't feel that way about, but
sure. But I'm glad in terms of struggles, the struggle really came from us finding our footing within the game, which is such a great problem to have. You know, finding our feet on the ground there is so much better of an issue than to have technical problems. At first, we started with Discord and we were using a program that would record our audio that way, but it ended up we had some issues with it, and it kind of combined our audio together. We then moved on to another website that would do something similar to Zoom, and that just didn't work for us. And then at some point we decided to just start recording all of our locals that way. And ever since then, we haven't really had any issues. We haven't really lost, you know, any audio per se, as I was gonna say,
despite some people's points to self, some people's ADHD.
We've
not remembering
been
what folder things are in.
Very, very lucky. We've been very lucky, but we've also been diligent. You know, we make sure to keep you know, different versions of the audio files that we have. And, you know, we're very careful about that. So thankfully we haven't had too many issues.
Too many problems.
Yet, you know. Gotta be realistic.
Not yet.
No.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a more fun question. You know, we all get inspired by different things. When someone new to role playing, or maybe even very new to Seven Seas, hearing about it the first time, checks out your podcast and they say, "Wow, I want to play this game." What recommendations would you give to someone that's discovering your podcast and discovering 7C for the first time?
Oh man, we have a whole sub-series all about that. That's one of the things that we set out to do with the podcast, because Zoe's such a huge proponent of the system, was to be able to, because Evan and I were learning the system as we were going along, in those early episodes especially, we go in depth into what the mechanics are, how they're used within a scene. You get real-time examples of how that happens. And then Zoe has a whole series called Notes with the Narrator, and I will let them explain that.
Yeah, the Notes with the Narrator segments are specifically deep dives into the different mechanics, the different books. We have one on sorcery. We have one on dueling. We really go in and hyper fixate on a certain aspect of the game because I really want people to learn the system and to play it. Because I can sit here and tell you until I'm blue in the face how great it is, but until you sit down and play it, that's when the magic happens. And the one issue with 7C is that it is a vast paradigm shift from D&D. It's so drastic that some people get tripped up and will, you know, drop it. It'll be like, oh, it's too much for me. If you give it a chance, if you let it be and not try to force other, you know, games rules on it and just let it play how it's supposed to be played, you'll have a fantastic time in this system.
Yeah, I think the best advice, the best specific advice I can give to people that are coming into this system is D&D kind of forces you to think moment to moment. With 7C, stop thinking moment to moment. You can have those moment to moment situations in conversation, but I really encourage people to take the time to paint a very broad brush stroke in terms of your thinking. The broader your plan is, the way that you play the game, the better off you're going to be and the more narrative focus it will end up being. You know, we don't necessarily have situations where it's like, okay, I'm going to walk 10 feet towards the door and then I'm going to swing my sword, you know, roll dice for that. We have situations in the system where we will have more extended scenes that work and flow better because we think more broadly as opposed to extremely moment-to-moment dice-rolling situations.
Yeah. I'll bounce back on what I had said before in that 7C really is a storytelling system disguised as a TTRPG. Not that it doesn't function incredibly well as a TTRPG, but again, bouncing off of what both Zoe and Evan said, the way that mechanically things work differently between D&D and 7C is that D&D is a system where you describe what you're going to do and then you roll to see if it succeeds. Whereas 7C, you roll the dice first, see what, like how many actions you can take, and then you just describe what happens. So long as you have the resources to take those actions, you don't have to decide whether, or like, you don't have to figure out whether or not they succeed. They just do. And then it's a riposte from the GM in response to what you've done.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
There are only two main resources within the games. A D10 and a hero point. These two power the game. These you roll to determine how many actions you get. And these you spend to do cool.
Use your special abilities, your sorceries, your sword fighting techniques. Even in social situations, you can use different skills to help you navigate them. Evan's character has a skill called an honest misunderstanding, where if something that he says has immediately triggered a negative consequence, he can spend a hero point to take back and reword it in such a way where it's more beneficial to the situation. I have a skill called barter, which allows me to navigate situations sometimes, but I've never used it, and I'm It's one of those skills that you have on your character sheet that you never use, and then the moment somebody else does and you see how it's used, you regret not using it in that way for the past 2 years of a podcast that you've been doing.
Okay.
You really should know how to use.
All right, Patrick.
We're not talking about that from any sort of personal experience. The whole thing. We're working through it. We have a guy. He doesn't get paid enough.
No.
So what's been the reception from people listening to your podcast or from 7C role players? Has that been hopefully a good experience?
Oh, people hate it.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh my god, they hate us.
Yeah, we're doing it out of spite.
Eggs and tomatoes
point.
Thrown at our houses all the time. Oh my god,
I get death
threats. The worst.
They don't even know where we live,
get.
So that might be unrelated.
Yeah, that's fair. No, people seem to really enjoy it. People like that we are doing this for us, and we just so happen to post it on the internet. You know, that's a very beautiful thing about this game, is that we wanted it to be for us, and we wanted to keep it as genuine as we possibly could, while also enhancing it in a way that would benefit our desire for how the story we wanted to tell. Yeah. And thankfully, people have been really receptive. People have been, you know, very vocal about how much they love the show. We have plenty of folks in our Discord that have listened to the show multiple times through already. You know, multiple people will listen through the first season. They'll end it and they say, "Okay, great, I'm starting over again." They're crazy, and I love them, and it's really great. So far, people have been really, really kind to us, and people have been really, really encouraging about, you know, us continuing and, you know, keeping up with what we're making.
Mm-hmm. It's so incredibly heartwarming to interact with our audience on either our Discord or on any of the social medias that we post on. Seeing everybody's reactions, seeing some of the fan art that's been made is insane. I think somebody made the our ship, the White Rose, La Rosa Blanca, in Minecraft.
Yes.
At one point.
Yep.
My friend from work
wild.
Made me this little. My character Jesse has a hummingbird named Luciana, and she's an albino hummingbird. And my friend from work who listened to the podcast just handed this to me one day and was like, "Here, I listened to the podcast. I really like Luciana." Stuff like that is super cool, you know?
It's great. It's just been, it's such a joy.
We're very lucky. We're very grateful, you know, to have the support that we have and to have been able to meet friends that are now really, really close friends to us. You know, all through playing this silly little game.
We're very blessed.
So what is
the people? Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say just the people that we've been able to meet within, like, both the industry, within Chaosium, within other podcasts, the entirety of the Storyteller Squad, which we very much consider like a sister show, even though they use a different system. It's just cool. It's just awesome.
So what is the future of your podcast? I know some podcasts have, I don't want to say they moved on, they're still doing more episodes, but I've noticed they've been publishing books based on their adventures and the NPCs they've made and things like that. Is there anything like that possibly in the horizon? Or do you see the podcast going on and on? Is there like an end game? What's the future?
I don't really think we have much of an end game currently. Right now, we're enjoying telling the stories that we're telling. We have plenty more stories to tell. And once we're done telling this one, we'll have other characters, I'm sure, we'll tell stories with. We've talked about posting some of our, you know, our personal resources to maybe the Explorer Society at some point. You know, it would be fun to have a crew of the White Rose situation where we have, you know, character sheets and stats and abilities for our officers and for for Waylon and Jesse and for villains, but that's not something we've really sat down to talk about together too much. I know for a fact we have plenty of stories that we're still telling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we very often will get into conversation about where we want the story to go, and it ends up feeling like, oh, this thing would be really cool for a season 3. Oh man, this idea could be really cool for a season 4. So who the fuck knows? We're just we're playing, we're having fun. Who knows where it's going to end? And we're not really, you know, we're not thinking about where it ends. But people have that, like, oh, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see your show in 5 years? I have no idea.
Surprised we got this far. Like,
yeah, I know.
I didn't think I would get this far.
Yeah.
So we're still figuring it out.
I know, I think that's part of the magic. It is part of the magic. I know for a fact that I will be working to get at least an adventure published through the Explorer Society. That is one of the other awesome things about Chaosium, is that they release the resources to make your own kind of content. It's open source, so I have the ability to do that, and I appreciate the heck out of it. And I don't have to worry about, you know, going through all these loopholes in order to do it justice or worry about copyright. It's like, nope, these are open source. You can do whatever you want with it. And I also can drop a little bit of a hint here. These boys will also be the first to hear it. That Sam, the GM who introduced me to 7C way long ago, will be writing a GM guide for 7C together.
Very good.
And that will also be on Explorer Society in Drive-Thru RPG. And so we'll get that out there and help more people get into this system. My lofty goal used to be, oh, if John Wick would play a game of mine. That's happened.
That happened already.
I'm very good friends with John Wick. We're on a text message basis.
All three of us.
We got to meet the guy who wrote the game, and now we're friends.
That's cool.
Insane.
Sometimes he messages me and asks me about stuff about his game. the next lofty goal for me is to run the crew of Dimension 20 through 7C and bring that to their table. But my ideal goal, my cream of the crop, I know I've done it and succeeded, that's like the end all be all for me, is that 7C is a household name as much as D&D is. And I know that's a very lofty goal, because D&D has been around for like 50 years.
Shoot high.
But that's where it ends for me, is when people are like, oh, do we want to play 7C or do we want to play D&D? What do we think?
I will say, as far as our characters and our story as it is concerned now goes, you know, you'd mentioned that other podcasts are writing books about their adventures. I think it would be fun to compile the story into some readable or digestible format via text at some point, without showing our hand too much. We are currently working on a couple different pieces of multimedia, different like forms of media and artistic expression of these characters outside of the podcast, and in conjunction with some other folks, and that's all we can really say about that at the moment, but things are in the works.
There's cool stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's cool stuff coming. Okay. Including more art from our absolutely insanely talented artist, Emery Chelsberg. Some art that we've already posted online, some art that is to come sooner rather than later, and some that we have some that we've got planned down the line. So
So where can someone find this podcast?
Hey, Patrick, you're our socials guy, so
Yes.
this is your show.
You can find the Writer's Room on all your favorite podcast networks, as well as on all social media at the Writer's Room 7th C. That's the number 7, TH, and the word C. As far as where you can find us is the Writer's Room, a 7th C adventure. Or a 7th C podcast.
Seventh
I believe it's
podcast.
A 7th C podcast. Mm-hmm. I know where the word adventure came from. And I believe that pretty much sums up where you can find us. As far as podcasty things go.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch us mainly in our community Discord.
Mm-hmm.
If you search up the Hands of the Rose. Come join the community. Come talk with us. Come talk with other people that, you know, like-minded, want to play 7th C, want to learn 7th C, talk about the game, talk about characters, post memes, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can find that through the links in all of our bios.
And I'll put a link in the description as well. Your Discord is very active.
It's really active. Very lucky.
Try to keep on top of that stuff. It's a lot.
So thank you so much for participating in this discussion. Is there anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Well, I mean, I think there's something that we always sign off with.
Oh, of course. And
oh, before Zoe, before that. That.
Oh,
before
yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. No, before that, we got. I personally think I speak for the three of us in saying, first of all. Emmanuel, thank you for having
us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. And for those listening, we really appreciate any support that we're given. It's, you know, we're very lucky that we have people that continue to listen to the show and continue to support us, both by listening to the show and monetarily through our Ko-fi and, mm-hmm. you know, through participating in our either our live listens on Discord or interacting with socials, any support that we get is, it means a lot more than you think. We're small creators, independent creators, you know, we are by no means professional.
Literally the three of
us. It's just us. And we're putting something very near and dear to our hearts out there. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who spent the time to listen. And for those who are checking us out for the first time, thank you for checking us out, and we really hope you enjoy what you hear.
Yeah,
we got a lot more coming.
If you do enjoy what you hear, and you do feel like listening to more of the podcast and supporting us in any sort of monetary way or otherwise, you can also find our Ko-fi in the links of all of our social bios as well as our listening profiles. And we actually have a separate show where for season 2, Evan has started running a show called The Crow's Nest, where some folks from the episodes are brought on, and we, in a very laid-back fashion, talk about everything, like all the things that spurred on our decisions in the episodes, and do a full real like episode breakdown, and Evan is the captain of that as well.
I think personally I still can't believe that this has gone as viral. I guess viral is still the same kind of thing. Like,
I don't know if we're there yet.
I don't think we're there yet, but it is starting to get mainstream. Like we're mm-hmm. starting to become
inching closer.
We're inching very close to you know, one of my lofty goals of being a household name. And I when I set out, it was just like, guys, I'm gonna run this fun little game for us. And we appreciate everything that you guys do, listening over and over again, freaking out on our Discord about the cliffhangers that I leave every single time. And the ever patience of our people, because this is a production that I solely make. And sometimes life happens. Sometimes I get sick. Sometimes delays inevitably happen. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate everybody who is so patient and loving and caring. Our community is great. And I cannot thank you guys enough. And from me to you, I love you. And I want you to know that. Okay. And
I
always
think that's pretty safe to say.
I think that's very safe to say. And speaking of safe to say, the sign off that we always do is no matter what you're doing, just remember, be safe and well.
I can't think of anything to add to that goodbye. So viewers, again, stay safe. We'll see you
next
time.
Thanks for having us.